welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned in again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse number 27. And after these things he went forth, Jesus, and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ here, building his church, that's what's going on. He's building his church. He's called James and John and Peter and Andrew to follow him. He's going to make them fishers of men. The indication here that Levi will also be made a fisher of men. Levi is a man that has been down and baptized by John the Baptist. He's a man that was saved, not by baptism, but by faith in the coming Christ that John preached. He's there taking the custom, the toll, say, and the Lord Jesus sees him, says, Levi, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? So here the Lord Jesus Christ calling Levi wanting to put on a great feast for the Lord in his own home. He invites his friends, his kin, and of course there's a company, a great number of publicans that are friends with Levi, and he invites them, of course, and they're there, and our Lord Jesus eats with them. He sits down with them. You know, this is a consternation for many. Jesus sitting down with sinners. Jesus sitting down, as the Jews viewed, with traitors, the publicans, the tax collectors that had betrayed their own nation for the sake of collecting taxes for the Romans. They were a despised lot. The sinners, as referred to by the religious elite and leadership, they were the unworthy, as has been mentioned in our day. They would consider them the deplorables, the unredeemable. And Jesus goes and has a company with them. He sits down with them. He's willing to visit with them so much that he eats with them. No greater testimony or showing of fellowship with someone than sitting down to eat with them. That's the greatest example of fellowship. And so the murmurs and the scribes there in that region, that area, and seemingly we're still at Capernaum, they asked this question to the Lord's disciples. So what do we have so far? Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, that we know of. Why does your Lord eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering, he overheard the question. Our brethren probably at that time might have shrugged their shoulders. They didn't know. They knew that he did, and he had no quarrel with it, had no qualms about it. Jesus answering and said unto them, verse 31, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's it. The Lord Jesus Christ tells and says, these are those among which my ministry is. These are the people that need me. These are the people that need help. These are the people that need salvation. These are the people that are easily shown and understood that they need help and salvation. The indication is that you, the Pharisees and the scribes, righteous by your own self-righteousness, you say you don't need help. And so as the Lord Jesus Christ said, your sin remains and your blindness remains. But these here, they know they need help. They need help to see. And they need forgiveness of their sins. I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Verse 33, and they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? Why, you're always eating and supping and dining. Why, your disciples, they never fast. And again, another thing, another statement of, regarding our Lord's divinity and his power, who he is. He's going to tell them here why. In verse number 34, and he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then shall they fast in those days. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear here that his church is in existence and in operation. He's placed those disciples that are following him in his church. They're his church. They're his group. We want to make something more mystical out of that than it is. He's got a little group, and they're following him at his command, his call. And he refers to them as the bride. He refers to himself as the bridegroom. He says, if the bridegroom is at hand and near, it's not a time to fast, but a time to rejoice. A time to be festive. A time to enjoy the blessing of the dearest one that there is being near. It's not a time to fast. He said there is coming a time, though, that the bridegroom is going to be taken away from the bride, his church. And in those days, in that separation, they indeed will fast. It'll be necessary. But now is not the time for that. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And so he says, old garments mended into new garments, or a new piece of cloth mended into an old garment, just makes what's going on with the tear worse. It's not suitable. You know, your seamstresses, your wives, though your tailors, they don't do that kind of thing. They make a match. And the bridegroom being here with the bride, it's a match that they rejoice. It would be not a correct match if they would fast and be mournful. And no man, verse 37, putteth new wine in old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. The Lord says, you know how it is with wine. You don't take an old bottle seasoned with last year's vintage and put the new wine of this harvest in it. You don't do that because that bottle can't, it's not elastic enough. It can't handle the stretching. You put new wine in new bottles and you keep the old in the old. It's suitable. It's meat. It's right. The Lord Jesus Christ is here, and fasting is not something that needs to be done while the bridegroom is at hand with the bride, but it's a time of enjoyment, a time of teaching, a time of blessing. The new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. The wine that has been aged for a period of time is always better than the new from the standpoint of wine. The Lord Jesus Christ, he just floats this in front of him. You know how it works in nature. You understand how it is in our lives. It would be untoward for them to fast, for them to mourn in this day when I am with them. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest that there is. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and during the course of his ministry, here at the beginning of his ministry, he's giving indication about who he is. who he is. What do you believe? What do you think about who the Lord Jesus Christ is? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of glory, the everlasting Father, the Creator of all, the Savior of the world, the Judge of all. I tell you what, there's none fairer, there's none greater, there's none more blessed than our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one to be focused upon. But these religious leaders in this day, they despise our Lord. They don't care anything about our Lord. They feel threatened by our Lord. They're troubled by him. They're bothered by him. They don't want anything to do with him. He's against the norm, the status quo. And they're very troubled by that and have fear that they're going to lose their place. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 1, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands." So it's been a couple weeks that he's been at Capernaum, and he's out with his disciples. Again, Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Levi, that's who we know about, Matthew, so far. And so it's been a couple weeks. They're there on the Sabbath day, and they're going through the cornfields. And so we understand that the corn is up and it's ripe. So this is late summer. It's come to ear. So this would be summertime, wouldn't it? And the disciples pick off an ear of corn and rub the silks off of it and eat it. They're hungry. They're hungry. They're hungry on the Sabbath day. I wonder how it was with them. Did the Lord have to tell them as they were passing through the field, "Man, I sure am hungry. Boy, this corn sure looks good." And did Jesus have to tell them, "Well, go ahead and get you an ear. Lord, it's the Sabbath day. Get you an ear. Are you hungry, son?" "Yeah, I sure am hungry." "Well, get you an ear and eat it. The Lord's provided it for us." And so they get an ear, and they're rubbing the silks off of it, and they're eating it as they go. "And certain of the Pharisees," verse number 2 of chapter 6, "said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" Why are you always doing things? Just here early on, the Lord is healed, no doubt by now on the Sabbath day, and now his disciples are taking this corn on the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to deal with them and show them, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." Verse number 5, we jump ahead, and we'll deal with this more next time. "And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." He said, "I made the Sabbath, I made it for man, and I'm the Lord of it. If there's anybody that can change it, it's me." I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.